Good afternoon and welcome back to Intrepid Radio, the show that brings you the world's most intrepid people. I am your host, Todd Schnick. I hope that 2013 continues to be off to a strong start for all of you. I am very excited about today's guest. He is the host of a very popular show called The Rise to the Top. He's also a best-selling author and a fitness advocate. So welcome, David Sleitman Garland.
Todd, it is awesome to be here. And anytime the word intrepid can be used to describe someone, I'm a fan. So I am pumped to be here.
Outstanding. Well, David, I'm going to be a little selfish today. You are a very inspiring, enthusiastic, and positive kind of guy. So I'm hoping to have some of that rub off on me and my audience. The goal today is to just get into a conversation around mediapreneurs. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. But before we do that, do take a second. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Yeah. So, weird background. I don't have a background in media or anything like that at all. But in 2008, I came up with this crazy idea of creating a web show called The Rise to the Top, which I started in 2008. And it's grown now to, over 250,000-ish viewers a month, somewhere around there. A lot of the show is interview based. And it's evolved over time since when I started it, just like with, any media platform. But really, the concept behind it and sort of what I'm very passionate about is really helping people that I call mediapreneurs dominate online. That's really what I'm excited about. And what I mean by that, what I kind of mean by that term, is people that have a media platform, a podcast, web show, or they want to create one, blog, whatever, and then a business that leverages off of it. So it might be coaching, consulting, products, software, something else. And it's that combination which I call mediapreneurs. And so we do a lot of products and coaching and all kinds of different things to help those types of people out. And that's kind of the fastest nutshell I've probably ever given on it. But that's the story.
Well, a mediapreneur, I mean, let's get into that more. Now, you in essence said, frankly, that anybody in business, it's selling something, whether it's product or services, can be a mediapreneur. I mean, is that the right? I mean, can everyone be one? Should everyone be a mediapreneur?
Well, I'm going to give you the honest answer, no and no.
Right.
Like, I would love to say, like, this is for, I mean, nothing is for everyone. Nothing is for everyone. You know what I mean? And so the way that I kind of came up with the term, besides randomly in the shower, was when I came up with the term mediapreneur, is there was like this group of people that were really passionate in my community, myself included. I include myself in the same group, where I couldn't quite put the finger on a word to describe them. Because, internet marketers has that kind of scammy, weird feel. And it's not exactly entrepreneurs, because everyone is an entrepreneur. But when you think of entrepreneurs, I think you sometimes think not of us, if you will. So what I mean by that is you think of people building big companies with venture capital and all kinds of stuff like that, even though we all know there's many, many terms that define an entrepreneur. And so I was looking to kind of create a new category of people that I viewed as mediapreneurs. And if I were to get more specific on it, it's really people that kind of create a lifestyle business for themselves around a passion or expertise online. That's really what this is about. You know what I'm saying? And so, not to say that it's not for people that have other types of companies, that's totally fine and it's all applicable, but really the kind of the core of people that I serve are these people that are like, okay, they want to create this cool lifestyle for themselves. They want to make money doing something they're excited about. They want to do it from their computer. They have something that they want to share with the world. They want to get it out there. That's really what this is about, and turning it into a legitimate business.
Understood. Okay. Now let me ask you a subset to that question. Can you be a mediapreneur within a larger organization?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yes. I mean, you can be. You can be kind of your own mediapreneur. If you're responsible for product, media creation and doing different things like that, like a podcast or a web show or blogging, yeah, you're essentially creating media. It's just that the back end is a little different. The back end, and I'm not referring to your butt, is going to be the company itself, whatever you guys sell. That's what the business is. And what's interesting is a lot of people get these terms confused a lot when it comes to the media space, because there's kind of this media mindset out there where the idea is to create as much content as humanly possible and just keep creating content over and over and over again, and you hope to sell kind of ads and sponsorships. That's one model. And that's a model that I actually do not advocate, because I think a far stronger model, the mediapreneur model, is combining creating awesome media with an actual business itself, combining those, and you've got something really, really cool.
Okay, I gotcha. So I've built my businesses around podcasting, and I now help my clients utilize the medium to not only generate great content, to educate their audience, but also to integrate it into their business development efforts. So like you, I'm a big advocate for encouraging people to become mediapreneurs. But here's my problem. I mean, so many people indicate and say they want to start an online show of some sort, but they don't. So let's kind of go through some of the things that are holding people back. One of those things is, can you be a mediapreneur if you don't understand the basic tenets of a simple basic content marketing strategy?
That's a good question. You can, but it's important to learn these types of things, because here's the thing. Some of the most common, reasons people either don't get it going or aren't successful when they do get it going. Number one for getting going is fear of trying to get everything perfect before they start. It's never going to be perfect, and there's a difference between knowing zero and also getting it, worrying about if it's going to be perfect. Another fear is tech. People are terrified of, trying to figure this out and, get it up there. And I got to tell you, I started with just a random little tiny microphone and, webcam, and that's how I started my show. I mean, it wasn't anything fancy. You can always upgrade over time. But the third thing, Todd, and I think this is critical, there's two kind of approaches to starting this, and this gets back to your exact question. Number one is what I would call the run and gun approach, which is just like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to kind of slap something together. I'm going to get it up, and I'm going to kind of figure it out as I go, right? The other one is a more strategic approach, which is thinking of, okay, why am I doing this in the first place? Is it to attract new customers? Is it to help build a list? Is it to help to get clients? Who am I creating the show for? Am I going to interview people? What types of people are going to be interesting? And going more on the strategic planning route. Now, when I started, I'll be 100% honest, I was far more of a runner and gunner. Now, what that allowed me to do was, of course, learn as I went. But honestly, it was a little bit of a painful experience, And so for my customers and clients, I actually advocate, yeah, you can have plenty of room for innovation and trying and getting stuff off the ground for sure. But let's get a little bit strategic with it. But at some point, you got to be able to pull that trigger and get it going. So I am a fan of mapping it out, but I'm also a fan of once I'm mapped out, and we're ready to go, let's get that ball rolling off the hill, and we can always adjust as we keep going.
Well, God bless the run and gunners, though. I mean, because frankly, you just got to start the thing. I mean, most people I know who have successfully gotten into this racket, that's frankly, David, that's how they did it too, and they learned as they went. So I want to be sure that you don't sit there and think that you have to wait for the perfect launch to get this thing off the ground running. You mentioned technology, and let's talk about that a little bit. I listened to my very first podcast, and geez Louise, it's this god-awful broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. I'm not dissing that platform. It's a great platform for to do something along these lines. But, now I got the microphones, and I got a studio in town, so it's a whole different kind of ballgame. But the technology, that does spook a lot of people. I mean, but you can frankly produce and run a show with a smartphone and an internet connection, can you not?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's so many simple ways of doing it. I think people are just like scared in general, and they shouldn't be, And that where they get an easy way to get hung up is the technology. You know what I mean? It's almost like the easiest excuse you can come up with. It's like, I'm not going to be able to figure it out, or I don't have time to figure that out. It's a BS excuse, right? Because, I'm such a big advocate for this medium for people that are excited about it. And a lot of times creative people or business people or whatever, they're not necessarily the biggest techies in the world. And I just don't want that to hold people back. I mean, there's so many simple ways you can get this stuff up and rolling and adjust from there as you get going. And yeah, it could be as easy as, doing voice memos on your iPhone if you needed to and just uploading the darn thing. It's just getting started and then getting consistent is the key thing to really growing this platform.
Should a show be centered on a very specific niche theme? I mean, frankly, for me on this show, I generally interview authors. And so my show's about whatever the heck the theme of their book's about. How important is a theme for a show?
I think it's very important. You know, mine's changed over time, but it's important to have one. You know, I think if you look at the space we're in now, and you know, there's a lot of content creators out there, and people are always wondering, you know, how do I stick out from the pack, right? And, you know, you stick out from the pack by not being a generalist. You know, there's too many shows about, like, successful people. I'm just using that as an example. Or, you know, fitness people, you know, whatever it might be. The key is, where can you drill down a little bit and find a specific niche? Let me give you an example. A friend of mine, Derek Halpern, has he been on the show?
He has not. I've been reaching out to him.
All right, reach out to him. Derek Halpern, he's a funny little tiny man, right? Social Triggers is his website, and he does a podcast called, also called Social Triggers. Now, there's a zillion marketing podcasts out there, a zillion, right? There's also a lot of podcasts, you know, different and more in the academic space of psychology, but there weren't very many that combined marketing and psychology into a specific niche, you know? So that was a great way he was able to combine. That's one way to do it, is to combine two things, fitness and I don't know, paleo diet or something like that. Another way to come up with something more specific is to immediately say who your audience is. So for example, if I was going to do the fitness and paleo diet show for women, right? Or for teens, or for blank, or for whoever those people are, identifying people is another great way to hammer down that niche. Because I'm telling you right now, one of the biggest mistakes people make in business when going into this space is going too broad. Because when you go too broad, all right, you're not going to get that as passionate of an audience as you would as if you went very, very specific. Because honestly, when it comes to podcasting, it's not about can you get a million people to download if you're in business or anything like that. It might be that you have 100 fans, but there are 100 passionate, you know, tattoo your face on their arm type fans that also want to buy everything that you have, right? And that I'd rather have than sort of 5,000 fans that kind of tune in and tune out. And so I think it's very, very important to try to hammer down.
No, absolutely. And that ought to be your priority. But that said, though, David, I mean, if someone comes to me and says, oh, you know, I'd like to do a podcast around marketing, but there's how many does the world need another marketing podcast? Does it need another fitness podcast? Do you feel strongly enough to sit, you know, yeah, you should niche it down and focus on fitness and paleo or something like that. But is there value to say to someone, yeah, but no one knows my personal take and my perspective and my experiences in marketing. And so there's value in what I have to say.
Yeah, no, I think it was a good point. And I've thought about that as well. You know, and again, my thoughts on it are kind of both. Like if you want to stick out, you know, your personality needs to stick out. Do you know what I mean? So if you're going to do a general show, maybe you're just the guy who curses every other word or something. I don't know. Whatever. You know,
right, right.
The woman that says the entire show in rhyme. I don't know what it is. Okay. Something that is going to stick out from the pack. You know, I would encourage people to, it's such a tough question because the reason I'm seesawing on it is I don't want people not to start. But I think that there's a benefit to being more specific than you think right now. So Todd, you know, if someone came to me and they said, okay, I'm very passionate, I'm very excited, I am pumped, I want to do a marketing podcast, I want to do the darn thing, what do I need to do? You know, I would first of all encourage them. You know, I'm never someone that says, you know, don't do this or whatever. I would say that sounds great, but I would try to get them to narrow down at least a couple steps on the rung, you know? Marketing, I don't know, you know, online marketing for women or something like that. You know, I don't know what it is, you know, in the space or combining, you know, it's marketing and sports. I don't know, whatever it might be. But I don't think that we're in an era right now where starting a general show is going to bring people the most success.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. Hey, another hang up that people have, David, is this, and obviously it depends on the show and your objectives, but people are spooked about guest recruitment. I don't really get that. I mean, people are like, how did you get Guy Kawasaki on your show? And I'm like, I sent him an email. You know, I mean, talk about some advice on the guest recruitment side of this thing.
Yeah, I mean, I have lots of advice on this because I actually, it's funny because I did a course to help people kind of doing interviews online. And what's funny about it is that I asked a lot of people in the community that in my community, just kind of what's your questions, you know, about what can I help you guys with? And this was always at the top of the list was how do I get these great guests to say yes? You know,
all right.
So number one is you have to have a brand established. OK, that doesn't mean that you have 10,000 million viewers, but it means that your site looks pretty good. You have some kind of reputation that at least is starting, because you want to fall into that category of up and comer and not someone that's just kind of, you know, dabbling in this a little bit. So, for example, if you send an email to someone, the first thing they're going to always do is go to the website, period, or look you up. They're either going to Google you or go to the website, right? And if your website looks like complete amateur hour, someone that you're going after is going to be far less likely to say yes to an interview. So believe it or not, branding matters a lot when it comes to reaching out for an interview. The second thing is it's all about timing for a lot of different people. So even the most, busy, hard to reach, crazy people are easier to reach when they have something that they're going to promote. For example, a book, just like you mentioned, Ty. I'm sure when you had Guy Kawasaki on, it was probably around his new book, something like that, right?
Yes.
And so when people have something new, which could be a book if they're an author, it could be a product if they're an entrepreneur, it could be a story, it could be something like that, they're much more likely to say yes, especially if you're coming at it when you approach them. It's a little bit sneaky, but you're coming at it and you're saying, hey, I would love to help spread the word about your new book. Can you come on for an interview? Now, realize when you do that, it doesn't mean you have to sit there for 30 minutes and go over the book. It just means that you give it a shameless plug, a little love, a couple questions on it. But you could bring on, let's just use Guy Kawasaki and talk about his childhood, you know, right. If you're doing a childhood show of famous entrepreneurs or something like that, which actually would be a great show, by the way, is if you could say, hey, Guy, you know, I do a show where I interview entrepreneurs. I talk about their childhood and growing up. And I'd love to promote the new book that you have going on. Would you be interested in coming on? So having that kind of principle of timing. The third thing, Todd, and I think this one's important, I'll leave it on this tip, is brevity when reaching out. Okay? No one wants to read the War and Peace emails that come in asking for an interview. Do you know what I'm saying? Keeping it very, very short and just saying, hey, this is the show. This is what I'd love to talk with you on. If this sounds great, you know, let's schedule up. You don't need to tell your life story about how, you know, you got your first microphone at the age of 6 and stuff like that. That kind of stuff. You'd be surprised, because stuff is difficult. And going with that principle, it's kind of like 3B here, 3B if that was 3A, is make it very, 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 can I say very one more time?
Please.
Very easy for your guest. You are throwing them a party. You're not giving them a job. So as easy as you can make it, you know, here's the Skype. We'll meet on at this time. Let's do an interview, blah, 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 blah. You know, you don't need to create complicated situations. I've had people email me before, ask for an interview, and then ask me to write my own questions for the interview. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's you just gave me a job. Or promising to promote. Hey, can you promote this though if I interview? No, that you're being a jerk. You know what I'm saying? Your job is to get them there, make it easy, make it fun, and that will help you a million times than the other types of emails. So those are just a few. I mean, I could go on all day on this, but that's just a few for people to kind of wrap their head around.
Well, thanks for going in depth there. I just booked Seth Godin to appear on the show, and I sent him a 2-sentence email. So that advice matters. David, we're about out of time, and I cannot have a conversation around this without asking this one thing. So, and we could talk for hours on this subject. But give someone one piece of very simple advice when they come to you and say, "Well, what's the first thing I should do to start beginning to build my audience?"
So, yeah, that's a great question. The first thing to do is going to be sort of a counterintuitive thing in terms of the results. So it's not going to be like, go out and do this. It's going to be, make sure you do this. So here's what you want to do. You want to, when you come out with a new show, I want you to plant the seed in stone that you're going to consistently publish it on a specific day for the first 6 months. Okay? I don't care what happens, but if it's every Wednesday, it's every Wednesday. It's every Thursday, it's every Thursday. Don't forget, worry about multiple days right now. Don't even get into that kind of stuff. Let's start with 1 day a week for 6 months. 1 day a week or 6 months, and then start recruiting people via social media, your friends and stuff like that on Twitter, you know, Twitter, Facebook, things like that, to build that small audience as you start to get going. But I'm telling you right now, one of the best forms of marketing for a show, and I swear to God, is consistency. And this is where too many people drop off right away, is that they post and then they don't post, then they kind of post and then they don't post, you know, things like that. If you can be consistent, that's going to be the key to starting to grow that audience. And we get, you know, it's not about specific tactics. It's not about different things like that. Spreading the word is a whole other story, but it has to start right there with consistency.
Outstanding. David, we're out of time. Before I let you go, how can people get in touch with you, learn about your show, and learn about your work?
Yep. So easiest way to head over to therisetotop.com. So it's therisetotop.com. You're going to see an email box there. If you want to subscribe up, awesome. You can find out all the shows, all the programs. One cool thing just to point out is I do two things a week always on the site. Every Monday, I do a short video called DSG TV, which is kind of tips and advice, really short kind of YouTube-y like videos, helping out people with online content and the business around it. And then on Wednesdays, I do a full episode as well. And you can check out everything there. And if you like it, and you're not annoyed by me through this interview, awesome. I hope you subscribe up as well.
David Siteman Garland, host of The Rise to the Top. It was great to have you. Thanks so much for joining us. So that wraps this show. On behalf of today's guest, David Siteman Garland, I'm Todd Schnick. We'll see you next time on Intrepid Radio.